Hey, welcome back to the Lookout with your host, Mr. Noises Poet, and me, Mr. Isekai Keem. Now, when we watch anime, right, I don't understand why certain things happen, meaning why certain actions aren't permanent. We're talking about some of the thickest plot armor in all of anime. I'm talking like double-cheeked up on a sundae, super thick plot armor.
Don't
Now,
describe plot armor like that.
it is, okay? We've seen it. It is thick, winter thick, porridge thick, Snickers. You know what? Let's not get into this too much. But let's talk about one of the first animes that have the heaviest plot armor. They call it something else. They call it the Heart of the Cards. And all that is pure plot armor. Notice, you know, talk about Yu-Gi-Oh! Real quick and how they have some of the craziest moments.
I would love to. Ah,
Oh, this is
this
what you got.
I was born to rant about this. Matter of fact, I will certainly be making a video about it tonight. I wasn't planning to, but I certainly will.
It's a good choice.
Now, Yu-Gi-Oh! For those who don't know, if you don't know, I don't know what's going on with you, but Yu-Gi-Oh! Was a card game that was very popular in the early 2000s. Yu-Gi-Oh! Has monster cards, magic cards, trap cards. It's a very convoluted, very. Once you understand the basics, it's not too hard to understand, but there's a lot of reading involved on these cards.
Especially nowadays.
Now, boy, I don't under look
I will not touch Yu-Gi-Oh cards nowadays.
the card text be this long. I play, but I don't play the meta stuff. I specifically play a deck of just nope. My deck is always built on you don't get to play the game. So, and usually when I get my little stuff set up, people just quit
See,
because they
people like
can't
you is
do
why
anything.
I'm not playing the game. That's exactly what I'm
And
talking
see,
about.
but look,
Why would you
I'm
do
not
that
doing all
now?
that sacrifice 8 times. I'm not doing all that digging through the graveyard. I play like 5, 6 cards, and after that, the game is done. You don't win. I'm thinking about making an Exodia deck. I think that's what I'm gonna do next.
If I
But
lost to Exodia, I wouldn't be mad, to be honest.
you can't be mad. It's too
You
hard to
got
get.
that. Like, you did that. You won.
It's
You
too hard
right.
to get. Now, this is my thing, right? So with Yu-Gi-Oh, the game is difficult. You can have 7 cards in your hand. There's ways to shuffle them back, but generally you have to have 40 cards in the deck. Now, today they have things that let you search out things in your deck, so it's not as hard to get what you need. But back in the day, you were sitting there holding your cards for turn after turn after turn. You might not get a monster in the first couple of hands that you get because that's just how the game went. But then Yugi, somehow, some way in that show, he is always and forever gonna get exactly what he needs. And there were several instances that rubbed me the wrong way consistently throughout the show. Now, the very first instance that comes to mind, it wasn't the first display of the plot armor in the show, but the very first instance that comes to mind was when he was fighting against Panic during the Duelist Kingdom tournament. So
Okay.
Panic had us, he had like a, it wasn't zombies, but it was more like a, say, fiends or like haunted creatures, basically.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. This is what I was going to talk about, so you're right.
A pumpkin, a castle, some more shooting.
Yeah.
He had absolutely no chance. There was nothing he could do. Well, first of all, the castle was doing something that it doesn't actually do in real life. It was shielding the monsters and hovering over them. And as long as this little force field was out there, you couldn't do anything. First and foremost, I think that's stupid. Because
Yeah.
what is that?
Yeah, Castle
That's.
Illusions. Yeah, no.
So when I got the card in real life, I was like, where's the force field effect? I don't see it. Like, where's that at? They left some information off of my card. But then the way that Yugi beat it was even more bull. So this man had his monster that wasn't strong enough to destroy the castle throw its sword at the ring on the castle. And then the ring came crashing down and destroyed all that man's monsters.
No. That's
Oh, go ahead, tell me. Go ahead.
But as soon as that turn ended and the swords revealing light disappeared, these swords were magically keeping this castle afloat. And then the castle dropped, killing the pumpkin and all that stuff. Bruh, you could not tell me that, bruh. I also got the swords revealing light. That's not what it does. All it does is reveal
at all
the cards on, like.
And you can't attack for three turns, and that's it.
Plot armor too thick, yo.
Now, the other thing, though, another thing. Now, I know I remember this one perfectly.
Okay, what you got?
When he fought against Mako.
That was my, yeah. So go ahead, yeah.
The Mako fight pissed me off so bad. So we fought Mako. Mako was whooping this boy.
I mean,
whooping feet, like Kendrick say. He was literally, there was nothing that Yugi could do to win. And there was, so it was an ocean themed deck. It had Yumi, which was like a water type of feel spell. But for some reason, it didn't work the way the actual Yumi card works.
Really?
The monsters were hidden in the water and he couldn't attack them. And he was limited to this little square of land for his monsters to step on. That was BS and they know it. So if you go cheat for the enemy, then the enemy needed to win. Yugi was pretty much undefeated. Pretty much. And the reason he was undefeated was basically because of plot armor. That was the whole thing. We can really talk like a bulk of this episode about this anime, which I don't have a problem with if that's what we're gonna do here. Now, he had the Stone Soldier out, 1300 attack, 2000 defense. I know that monster very well. It was a perfect wall back in the day.
Everybody had Yugi's deck, so I get it. We had that job too.
So the moon was in the sky. He had the freaking Stone Soldier destroy the moon. And when it destroyed the moon, never mind the fact that Yumi is a field spell. It has nothing to do with the moon. But he basically cheated and got rid of that man's card. So when he destroyed the moon, the tide receded, you know. The moon is tied to the tide of the ocean. Sure, but that's not how the cards work. So then the ocean receded. The monsters are flopping around like fish out of water. And then he just cleans up and wins. I think that pissed me off so bad, bro.
Listen, I don't know what it is about anime with them destroying the moon for whatever reason. Like, let's think about it. Even in Avatar, destroyed the moon. Assassination Classroom. Let's destroy the moon. I don't know what the moon did to y'all.
Dragon Ball Z.
One Punch
Master Man. Roshi destroyed the moon. Vegeta made an artificial moon.
Like, I don't get the assassin. Listen, I don't get it. First off, yes, Yugi super cheated. But Yugi isn't the only one who cheated. Like, don't get me wrong. He has the heaviest out of the cards. What about when you get the winged dragon of Ra and you can't use it because you don't know the words? Are you serious? The bull, he was like, now I have the winged dragon of Ra. I was like, all right, bet it. But yo, why he and his orb was going on? Merrick like, you fool. You're not going to tell me that I have the card. I played the card. I did the sacrifice. The monster is here. You going to tell me that because I don't know the magic words, this card is useless? It's a floating orb? Nah,
you don't say open sesame, it don't work, like, bro.
Nah, not trying to hear that.
See, I got one worse for you.
All right, what you got?
Now, tell me about when Yugi was obviously very much lost. It might have been Yugi, but it might have also been Joey. I'm not sure which one of the two it was. But they created a whole fucking card for the game that had their faces on it that didn't exist. They had, like, put their hands in a circle and circled it with a marker.
With a little black marker?
Yes. And then it became a card, bro, that he pulled out the deck when he needed a card. You're not being serious. That game, look, the entire thing was crazy. And then, because I'm excited now. And then, let's talk about this man, Kaiba.
Yo.
That was the ultimate cheater.
Yo, Kaiba, I ain't gonna lie. If I was Yugi, Kaiba was not making it off that island.
He would have been too.
Yo, he was like, okay, Yugi,
I only have one move left. If you hit me, I'll die.
That's exactly what he did. And Pharaoh was ready.
Pharaoh was like,
kill him. Let's get him up out of here. And Yugi's like, nah, bro, you're going to stay in the puzzle now.
Yo, that is crazy. Like,
but look at what led to that. Look at what led to that, though. Yugi was cheating. The arrow, the living arrow with the mammoth, he combined it with the Blue Eyes Ultimate Dragon somehow. Two cards that don't have an actual fusion. There's no effect for that mammoth that's undead.
Bruh.
And he combined them and the monster was just melting over the course of the turns. It doesn't work like that.
Oh, you mean like when Joey thought he had his Dark Magician when he hit him with the Time Wizard, but all he did was make the Sage Magician, and now this
Right.
I'm like, yo, come on, yo. Time Wizard aged up everything else besides this guy. Oh, you made him wiser because he's a magician. With years of study, he could now do whatever I say he can. Yugi was a...
Yeah, but then they added the Dark Sage to the card game.
Yeah, afterwards. Because they had to, because people like us are going to be talking about it. Now I'm thinking about it, Yu-Gi-Oh! Was a street full of all cheaters.
Last one. I know you might want to pivot. Last one. Let me at least get one more.
Okay. All right.
Mystical Elf.
800, 2000? 800 mm-hmm. attack, 2000 defense.
The Mystical Elf had no effect, but all of a sudden, Yu-Gi gave her an effect.
You know what's crazy? After he gave her an effect, in the games, she had an effect.
They added one. Yeah, that's what I've been talking about. He cheating, bro.
I mean, Karibo used to not have an effect either, and now look at him.
All he did was come out and make noise.
He was cute, though. Little, he's like little brown Kirby, you know? Little fluffy dude.
Furry Pillsbury Doughboy.
He was a Furby. He was like a Furby.
Don't do
Except that. Furbies had some hard eyes, though. Them Furbies. You could smack somebody with a Furby.
He's a pillow. Anyway. He's a pet.
The creator of Yu-Gi-Oh, the creator of the Duel Monsters card, Mr. I'm a Cheat Pegasus.
Pegasus is a whole nother level.
Pegasus, first off, he snatched his grandpa. That was wild. How'd he even do that? He was like, hey, listen, you got 2 minutes, and if you don't do exactly what I say or beat me in this game, something bad gonna happen. What's gonna happen? I don't know, but let me tell you my life story. You know, it's amazing, Yu-Gi boy. Time's up, you lost, give me your grandpa. Like, what you mean? What you mean? Like, what you... you ever had to look at people's cars and stuff? Like, okay, that just makes sense. Yu-Gi-Oh! Was whoever could cheat better without getting caught. Or even with getting caught, because sometimes Yu-Gi-Oh! Play, like, 3 cards. You can't do that, bro. I'm like, I play Pot of Greed! And from there, like, I place these 2 cards and this, and I summon this monster and that. Wait, it's my turn. Shut up! And then I fuse them together, and I said, like, yo, you can't do that. Like, Yu-Gi... Okay, now, Yu-Gi-Oh! Itself is just nothing but plot armor. Either the plot wants you to win or the plot wants you to lose, and that's it.
I'm thinking of more examples as time is progressing. So
literally. Battle City, we're gonna pivot.
You brought up Battle City, so now I get to say one. The freaking card hunters. The card hunters, bro. So when they came with you remember the guy who had his own Exodia, he had like multiple pieces though.
What, Dark Exodia or the regular Exodia?
No, it was a guy, he was like a rare card hunter. He was he had white hair. He was kinda tall. He was in like the first portions of the Battle City tournament. And he had like 4 copies of the arm and 4 copies of the leg. And you can only carry 3 copies of 1 card. And that card is limited to 1 per deck. And you don't remember that?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah.
They were cheating. They were cheating that entire series. I promise you. The moment I went to Battle City or to Duelist Kingdom and somebody pulled something like that, I'm swinging immediately. Bandit Keith was not wrong.
Bandit Keith was not wrong. Free to Bandit Keith, for real. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Either I'm winning one way or another. Y'all want to cheat me? I'm going to show you some Stars and Stripes real quick. It's about to get real white and blue.
Oh, yeah. He in the Shadow Realm now.
Tragic. You know, tragic. But Korra was sending people to the Shadow Realm just because. He's like, I don't like you. Let me take you to the Shadow Realm.
That boy was a menace.
He was. And I were older. We all know that the Shadow Realm was a euphemism for death, right?
You was killing folks.
I just found that out.
Like, I'm sitting to the Shadow Realm, straight to 63rd. I'm trying to tell you, it was over. It's over. Like, you was dying over your decks. It's like, either you're going to run me your deck, or you about to get sent to the Shadow Realm. Your choice. I promise you. Ain't no card worth it. Here, this is my grandpa's deck. Uh-uh. Sorry, grandpa. Here you go. Okay. Enough Yu-Gi-Oh, because we could really keep talking about you. Because Yu-Gi-Oh itself is plot armor, but we're going to pivot. We're going to pivot something a little different.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's talk about Pokemon, right? I feel like we're talking about some of the thousands hits. So let's talk about Pokemon, right? If you don't know what Pokemon is, you're lying. Anyway, let's talk about some of the first examples of plot armor. Ash, right? You know, our boy Ash, right? He has a Pikachu. We all know this, right? We watch Pokemon. You know how this goes. Pikachu is an electric type. Now, we're going back in the day. This is before they had the 75 subspecies and other abilities and whatnot. It means you can learn Thundershock, Thunder Wave, Thunderbolt, Zap Cannon, Tackle, Quick Attack, Tail Whip. Nah, it was one of those things that had like five TMs or PPs or whatever. You could use it like five times or whatever. Because I remember Zapdos had it. So, cool. He fought, just in case you guys don't know, right? Electric attacks, not they're weakened, but electric attacks do nothing to rock types. Okay? Because they're grounded. Makes sense, right? You're grounded. It just passed through them. Hence the reason Nose Pass is the way he is. But this is before Nose Pass. We're talking like Geodude next days, right? He goes for his first badge, right? Gets a dude named Brock, right? This is not about a Brock episode, but Brock is an issue with himself, right?
Oh my God.
Pikachu is his pretty much only means to do anything because Ash didn't know that you could like get a Butterfree and then raise it up and use Confusion and it's super effective. We learned this playing the Game Boy and whatnot, but he just went out there with a Pikachu and a Pidgey maybe. Once again, useless against a rock type. This man's like, oh, I know what I can do. I can shock the sprinklers, making him wet, which makes my attack super effective now.
I had forgot about that, bro.
If I was Brock, I'd have been 50 types of tight, because what you mean you shock the sprinklers? First off, that's expensive. He feeding like 17 kids. You set the sprinklers off to weaken his Onix, and you got one shot it. The electricity doesn't, don't wrong, electricity is definitely more effective than water. It doesn't make it change. It's still electricity. How did you put down an Onix with one shot?
That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Especially when that Onix trash. The fact that he got the help from Brock's daddy.
Bro.
Who disappeared and left that teenager with all them damn kids.
That's why I said the Brock episode is going to be different, because how are you still there watching your son take care of your kids? And you like, damn, that look hard.
So we're talking about we're going to do a deadbeat dad episode.
100%. I got six in my head already.
I got plenty. Yeah.
Listen, that'll definitely be an episode. But that's the first instance. That's the first instance of plot armor, right? We all know that Gary Oak is the epitome of walking plot armor. The dude literally just plays whatever to one-up you. I'm not mad at it. I respect it. Like, if I had the choice and I saw you take Squirtle, I'm also going to take Bulbasaur. But every time... You're
making real mad in the game.
I tried restarting the game a bunch of times and say, maybe if I grab this, he'll grab that. No. I promise you. If you would have grabbed a Pikachu somehow, he would have grabbed a Geodude. He would have just found a generic counter to you. And he did it every time. His whole purpose was for Professor Oak to have someone that's, hey, Ash, you're doing great, but you're not doing Gary great. You're not doing that great. Your mom's like, oh, you're doing so good. You'll be like Gary one day. I can understand why Ash had to be the champion, because it's like, nah, your whole life you was compared to your big cousin. And your cousin was that boy, though. For a bull with an Arcanine, I'm sorry. When he did that, I'm like, yo, he got an Arcanine and a Nidoking? I ain't even...
Nah, he was maxing that boy out for real. And Ash had the same Pikachu for the last 30 years.
It's still a Pikachu. And, oh, thank you. Cool. That perfect. Next part. How did a Raichu, who's a lightning and fighting type, who can use seismic toss and numerous attacks, lose an electric battle to a Pikachu when he literally gets charged from electric attacks and he's stronger? I know Lieutenant Surge had to be mad about that, because I'd be mad about that. Like, what you mean? And it's not like the whole Charizard and
What's that name? Magmar. Yeah, it wasn't like the Charizard and Magmar fire, where it's like fire versus lava. No, Pikachu and Raichu is literally level one thunder versus level two thunder, and somehow level one thunder beat.
They showed Pikachu got hard, man. But see, now, funny enough, in the Pokemon game, if you give Pikachu a light ball, he's stronger than Raichu.
A light ball?
But, what game was that? It's an item from the beginning. So a wild Pikachu will have a light ball, and if you let it hold the light ball, it'll be stronger because it doubles. It either doubles it or boosts it by 50%. Boosts his attack and special attack. Pikachu really a dog out here. You know what I'm saying?
No, but Pikachu Raichu definitely is, but
technically strong.
I'm trying to tell you, Ash Pikachu ain't had none of that shit. None of it.
Now, that's your cheating. My cheating in Pokemon is, you know what I'm saying? Geodude use say rock throw or magnitude or something. Pikachu, dodge it. I hated that. You mean to tell me when I'm playing this video game, I got to sit here and watch my Pokemon get wailed on, and I'm taking turns. I'm sitting here waiting for my shit to get knocked out. But then you get to tell your Pokemon to dodge it. Now, I watched the show first. So when I got the game, I was like, oh, yeah, they're not going to have nothing on me. My Pokemon always going to dodge. They said, I was like, where's the dodge command? I don't see that here.
Literally, I'm over here, you know, I'm just pressing B. And like, if I press B when they attack, my character will dodge. I'm pressing it. I tried everything. None of that shit.
No, it's not going to happen.
It's not.
But see, Ash, we knew Ash was a fluke. Ash was fluking the whole early portion of his Pokemon career. Nothing but a fluke.
Absolutely. You know this is a fluke? It's not the gym leader. Misty. Look, right? Misty, listen, I'm not gonna do too much on Misty because she did whatever she did and whatever. Let's talk about her Psyduck specifically, though. Psyduck was incredibly useless or incredibly useful. There was no in between. Either he was Psy-ay-ay-ay-ay and disappearing somewhere and being useless, wagging his tail, running around, doing little tail whips, or the man had a headache. And when he had a headache and he used his psychic powers, it was like, oh, did you just one-shot that? Your Psyduck just one-shot that? How did that happen?
And Psyduck, not even that strong.
Not at all. But, you know, plot armor. Hey, listen, I'm down to my last Pokemon. Maybe you could do something, Psyduck. You can get a little headache. He's like, get out of my face. Turn to Mob Psycho 100. I don't know how or why, but that's just... I feel like every early show has like just some crazy amount of plot armor that now that we're older, we gotta talk about it because obviously we're in the moment, we're like, oh, that is so cool. Oh, I can't believe you did that. Yeah. Now I'm like, that's nutty.
Exactly. Like that boy Naruto.
Mm.
That one is a deep cut and it's so for real. But I noticed that one. I think that was I knew that Yugi was cheating, but I didn't consider that plot armor. I was like, he's just cheating. And we were younger when that show was running versus when Naruto came out. Because I was in my later teens when Naruto came out. So the craziest part about that is that Naruto, I'm not saying I wanted him to lose. I'm not saying I wanted him to die. But Naruto was surviving the most impossible type of shit that was ever gonna happen. Like, for example, when he fought Haku was supposed to put him and Sasuke, he was supposed to put everybody from them on a t-shirt. That was supposed to be game, set, match, over with.
Now, Haku did say he was trying to not kill him. He said he was trying to harm him or incapacitate him, but his goal, while Zabuza did order him to do it, them to do it? Whatever pronouns were used for Haku.
He was still on the brink of death, bro.
No, he was definitely on the brink of death, 100%. But Haku wasn't out to end them because if he wanted to, I'm quite certain, they'd have been more than pincushions. They'd have been...
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. He should have lost. He should have lost. But he got to win anyway. My least favorite is because Neji is my favorite character. Am I looking directly into my camera?
Lower down.
Hold on. Let's adjust this.
Okay.
Can the world see me?
Yes. Neji Higa fan over here too.
This is how I feel. Neji Higa, sure, he was an asshole. We know that. That boy was clean. Now, before you start hating, ain't I'm clean, though? Like, he was clean.
First off,
Neji was clean.
You ain't got to convince me that. Neji was my favorite character, too. So when
yeah, he was my favorite, bro.
I'm like...
So he fought Naruto. He was maxing that boy out. He was taxing him. Couldn't lay a finger on him.
Literally.
I told myself, yeah, it's over with Naruto. But maybe he's not supposed to win every fight, even though he's the main character. Wrong. Wrong. That man, he blocked all the chakra points. Didn't he? He couldn't even tap into the Ninetales chakra, could he?
Well, somehow he could, because that's the chakra that
that's exactly what I'm saying. He had that boy knocked out, and this man put a clone on the spot where he did on the ground and just dug through the ground. How's him with the eight trigrams?
With the Byakugan not see it?
And the Byakugan, how's he not going to see and be able to tell that that's not the real Naruto? And he loses to one uppercut?
Exactly.
He didn't take any other damage? Just a square uppercut on the chin. That's it. That's all it takes. No Uzumaki barrage. No hands. No nothing. That's it.
The heart of the cards was in that hit. It was like,
that's exactly what it was, bro. And it pissed me off. They played in that man's face. And it really never sat right with me after that. I was like, yeah, Naruto shouldn't have won that fight.
No, he shouldn't have. Even to this, I mean, you're talking about things shouldn't have happened. Neji shouldn't have jumped in front of that joint at the very end either. But, you know, we're not going to talk about that because I assume I assume some people may not have gotten that far. But you know what? Naruto's not long enough, so you should have seen this by now. Neji did not deserve that. Okay? Rock Lee didn't deserve what happened to him in season two because he just kind of got shelved. He was him. He was him for real.
He was one of the main biggest draws for people coming over to the show. Because I know some people that I knew didn't really want to watch it, but they saw that fight with Rock Lee and Gar, and they was like, oh yeah, I got to watch this.
He was like, people like,
I can move freely. Like, you think dropping off these weights? Yeah. He's like, you think dropping a couple of weights is going to give you some kind of advantage with Gar and Bo's moving so fast, bruh? Gave him the quick pause. I loved it. And when he opened up the gates, bruh.
Yeah, 100%.
Just a mesmerizing fight, man. I had the chills. To this day, that's one of my favorite fights from Naruto.
I wanted to start training immediately after seeing that. I'm like, hold on. Rock Lee might be onto something. Don't do what Rock Lee did, because I tried it and it hurt.
I wouldn't recommend you
start kicking and punching trees. I literally tried it for a bit, and then I was sore the next day, and I realized that wasn't for me, because I'm not a ninja. Anyway, another moment, right? Pain, right? Pain came to the Leaf Village, and that man stood on business. He was like, there's a lot of y'all over here. Y'all having a good time? Y'all having a good time? Y'all about to know Pain, though. Like, who's Pain? I'm about to show you. Shinra Tensei. And the man leveled the entire village. You was over there minding your business at Ichiraku about to pay your tab, and now you can't. Because y'all just laying there. The man literally leveled the entire thing with one attack. I'm like, oh, snaps. Then the man put down Kakashi with a nail. I'm like, he ain't even hit you with the crazy He just, you're done. Calmly went through the entire village. No one was stopping this man, right? Then Hinata, bless her soul. I don't know what possessed her to think that you standing up with your twin lion fists was going to do something when, if you look behind you, the Hyuga estate don't even exist no more because he just wiped it off the map. You get bodied, and that triggers something in Naruto. And he opens up more tales than he's ever done in his entire life. So much that he sees his dad. That nigga ain't got a dad. But hey, through the power of plot, there goes his dad right there. And then the guy's like, damn, maybe I was wrong about you. Maybe you're the chosen one. Let me just sacrifice my life and bring back the lives of everyone that I just took, except Jiraiya.
How he talk him into that?
You telling me?
Well, I mean, with Jiraiya, they couldn't find the body. That's the one that I'll make an excuse so I don't get upset.
You know what? That's fair. That's fair. But let's not change the fact that this man came there, did exactly what he said he was going to do. He's like, listen, I'm going to level your whole village, and I'm going to come take you. He did everything but come take him because plot.
No, you're right.
Went through the whole village with ease. With ease, mind you. There was no one in the village close to touching him. They got Anbu and everything for what? None of your Anbu, none of the root, nobody did nothing because they got planted firmly. But then, hey, he's like, hey, man, you should stop that. Please, look at the children. Get some help.
And damn, talk no jutsu, bro.
Seriously. And he was like, shit, bro, I didn't even think about it like that. I think you're like my cousin, yo. You think, oh, snaps, you my cousin? Shit, I didn't know you was fam like that. My bad, Joe. Matter of fact, let me bring your peoples back. I was drawing. I was doing some nut shit. My fault, yo. Let me bring y'all back. I'm going to die, though. Like, what you mean? All right, your peoples all back. Just go dig them out the rubble and stuff. Yeah, I ain't the real boss, though. It's Toby. Obito. It's Bonner. Like, I don't understand how. If he would have just died right there in the fight, I wouldn't have been mad.
But exactly.
He was like, I have to undo everything I've just done and everything we've been working at for so long. Come on, yeah.
Don't let the cutaway with the swing happen.
When that soundtrack hit, you know the fighting's done. The fighting is done.
Yeah, it's going to be conversation time, bro.
It's like, now, you know.
Now, that boy, Naruto ain't the only one. His co-host, his partner in crime, Sasuke, also got plot armor. And the only thing I'm going to talk about, well, pretty much his entire beginning of Shippuden journey was full of BS. And his little arc where he was being edgy was probably some of the funniest beatdowns I've ever seen somebody get. Now, the specific plot armor moment that I'm going to talk about is when he fought against Killer B.
Oh, yeah. Killer B had that man packed up, biting on Karen for his life.
Killer B killed him 3 times.
He was like, hey, yo, catch these hands.
Killer B killed him twice. So the first time, Sasuke tried to have a sword fight with my boy. And he was writing raps, hit him with the meanest combo, and had that boy pin cushioned out. Now, Karin saved him from that. Then, he tried to go hand to hand with my boy. He went hand-to-hand with Killer B. And that man literally, he did a lariat where he knocked his whole chest cavity out. Everything right here was gone. Jugo had to turn himself into a kid and give him, like, a huge portion of his power just to keep him alive. And then you got, like, Suigetsu that jumped in the middle of him about to die from, like, a lightning attack. And so I guess he was made of water, so he's over here fried, looking like gelatin on the ground. And then they let him use a power that he had no understanding of, no grasp of. It just came out of nowhere. Hadn't used it yet, hadn't tried it. He used the Amaterasu and you know, fried Killer B, but it was part of a tentacle, so it didn't do nothing. But I think it's BS that he got away in the first place. I think that's absolutely crazy.
I mean, he got away from Kage Summit.
What make you think you was going to pull up on the Eight Tails and just do whatever it is that you want to do anyway? No, the Kage Summit was hilarious. Boy, the 5 strongest ninja in the world, quote unquote.
Sasuke thought you were about to have an I'm him moment. You were not. You're not, hey, pal. You're not that guy.
Put like, him yeah. On the ceiling, bro. On the ceiling. He was on the ceiling.
He was like,
and how he did even absolutely get that, nothing.
Nah, he hit 5th right Kage with the Amaterasu and got the arm. First of all, that boy tough. He was like, oh, my arm on fire? Arm gone. I'm like, yo, this man didn't hesitate. And then he proceeded to clothesline him. I don't know, threw the Susanoo, bro.
They could have fried him.
They could have.
Right then and there. Itachi died of ninja AIDS.
Bruh, it's just...
Itachi died of ninja AIDS in the middle of their fight, but he was never trying to kill him in the first place.
And Sasuke really thought
he had him in the beginning of the fight. The whole time he was in an illusion. Itachi chilling in the chair. You're like, yeah, man. No, I know you didn't just do that.
Nah, he got him though. He was like, what's that? Got him. I can't keep falling for this, bro. Man. Okay. All right. That's enough for now. We have a whole Naruto episode too. Now that I think about it, because this is a lot.
We can talk about Naruto.
Let's get into something else.
I was wondering what that was. I thought that was me, man. But, you know what I'm saying? I could steal the thunder now. This man here is a piece of work, y'all. He can't say nothing to defend himself. Hopefully, you all on Spotify are just hearing this and not seeing him. Not necessarily just Spotify, but you all on any platform are hearing this man or not seeing what he's doing right now because he's being ridiculous. Plot armor has always been one of those things where when you're younger, you enjoy it because your character's not getting the hell kicked out of him. But then you look into it later and you're like, I don't like this. When you go back and look at it as an adult, like one example of plot armor that kind of passed for me in the past but doesn't work now is Fairy Tail. So Fairy Tail.
Every single arc.
Natsu specifically is the main recipient. So Natsu will be out here getting his teeth kicked in. He's a fire dragon. He got fire magic. All of a sudden, when he's only supposed to be eating fire, I can eat lightning now and fire. So I'm going to be a lightning and fire dragon because my friends need, or just pretty much any kind of anything that he needs to eat, even if he's like later. But yeah, that's really gross, but he'll still do what he needs to do.
Like now, an Ethereum or whatever? The tower was made of some type of marbleite or whatever. And he's like,
he just ate it. That's what I'm saying. Like, they should have kept that to just... Now, if you want to do fire with a progression of lightning later, I can kind of give you a pass on that. If they had a water dragon, they start eating ice magic too. I can understand that. If you got steel like Gajeel and he can eat other metals, I can understand that. Or earth, or, you know, some kind of variable. I get that. But don't have this man out here eating just anything. It was always bogus. And every time, like, it's not even a slight outclass. Now, I will admit, with the fight with Neji and Naruto, yes, Neji was far superior of a fighter.
Gang.
But with a little boost, it's not outlandish for him to beat Neji. It's unrealistic, but it's not just unfeasible. But then you take... What's his name? You take these fights that happen in Fairy Tail, they will be getting stomped into the ground, haven't touched the enemy yet. It's not a power-up that they've mentioned. It's not something that they've said could be possible. Literally, none of it is making any type of sense. And they just automatically are like, my friends need my help, so I'm officially the strongest person in this episode. You'll never see that happen again, by the way. Whatever it is that they had that boost from, it's not going to happen in the next episode, the next few. They're not going to do it anymore, but it's just going to be for that one part of the story.
Yeah, no, it's always that one-time MacGuffin. It's like, do I, A, use my secret technique that everyone's always seen? B, use my classic technique and overcome them? C, do I run away? Or D, do I pull out that thing? And it's always to pull out that thing. And that thing, like you said, Natsu, right? I ate some lightning 3 years ago and it's still stored in my stomach. So I'm going to use that lightning, combine it with my fire, because I don't have a lacrima, I just have a big stomach. And now I'm a fire, lightning, dragon, god, roar, slayer, monster, hunter. For the next 5 years.
And that's how it is, bro.
Like,
that show was crazy to me, man.
That show was crazy.
I do like Fairy Tail, though.
Yeah, I like Fairy Tail too. Talk about getting a tattoo, like right here.
And we will talk about some underrated anime. We have to.
Absolutely. But you know
what's the next? What's not underrated?
I was going to say Bleach. You know, because Bleach is part of the Big Three, as you all know. The Big Three does not change. We have to say this again. The Big Three does not change. The Big Three does not change. Okay. All right. Now let's talk about Bleach, right? Bleach. You guys know what Bleach is. If not, you name Ichigo. Cool. He's a Soul Reaper. He can single arc, and I mean this, every single arc, the man unlocks a new power. It's not like, oh, his existing power just gets stronger. No, that happens too. But that happens plus something else. Like, you know how Dragon Ball is always a new hair color or something? It's like that. But Ichigo's hair does... No, not one time. But Ichigo doesn't do like that. The man has a new power every single time. You fight against someone that you have, like you said, talking about being outclassed. But this dude just picked up a sword, like, last week. Now he got to fight a captain who's been fighting for dozens, if not over 100 years of practice. This captain got bodies on bodies on bodies. I'm talking, this man is a menace. And Ichigo walks out of there alive, sometimes a victor. There is no way you're telling me he beat Kenpachi. Which is why I'm thankful that, you know, when Byakuya showed up. First of all, they all have dope theme music. All the captains and everything.
Got that boy in a washing machine.
He was like, Onkai. Sakura Kageyoshi. Like, oh, it's real pretty right
that
here.
That boy remembers everything about that shit.
He was like, oh, dude, come on. I'm a Bleach fan. And then those little petals started ripping his man apart. Rukia like, no! And he's like, shut up. You're next. Man. But he still survived that. Thousands
saying
of blades.
That about your
thousands
sister is crazy.
Hey, man. She know what she did. Now, all I know is that Ichigo is the epitome of you're not... Number one, Ichigo beat a lot of people, but he lost as well. We watched him lose. And if you talk about him versus the Okiura fight, it is the epitome of plot armor. I'm not going to spoil it, but please go watch that. It was
Okiura, bro.
Hilarious.
That's my favorite spot.
I mean, why not? He was.
I thought Stark was cool too, but he didn't do shit.
Exactly. He's a pacifist. He's like, do we got to do this? He's like,
I'm good. Y'all go ahead and do what y'all do.
Grimmjow was cool too. Grimmjow was a pretty popular pick.
Now, all that spot was cool. Well.
Most of the Espada was cool.
Yeah, almost all.
Yeah, more than half of them at least. But
now,
literally, so much plot armor.
Ichigo, we could talk about plot armor for years.
100%.
I think I can. We could have went this whole time talking about Yu-Gi-Oh, and I would have still had stuff to say. Now, yeah. We need to do a special Yu-Gi-Oh episode too, so we might need to catch up. But see, we're getting ideas as we cook. We continue to add more broth to flavor this thing that we have going. Don't say nothing. Don't, because you go too far every time. Now, I'm going to tell you guys something that I've been watching lately. Well, as you know, I seek out new anime pretty much on a daily basis. And there is an anime. Pretty soon, I'm going to be putting out my list for like my top 15 or 20 anime that came out this year. But
okay, good job.
The one that I just started today that I think is really good, for example, is The Most Notorious Talker Runs the World's Greatest Clan. So everybody has... Nah, see, don't do that. I know it's a lot of words. Everybody has, like, a certain classification. So you might be a warrior, you might be a healer, you might be a scout. But then they have the support class called the Talker, which is supposed to be the weakest one. And they're kind of like boy off of Jujutsu Kaisen, where he talks.
Like Inumaki?
Yeah, like Inumaki, when his speech becomes a command that actually happens.
Everybody so they're like the video. That.
But they have, yes, like the video, like the episode of the pod, tell us what you think. But he basically... is raised by his grandfather, who is the greatest, I forget what they call them in the series, because I just, seekers, they call them seekers. So his grandfather is the greatest seeker in history. And they're trying to, he grows up and he wants to be the strongest seeker, but he got the weakest class. So he's trying to talk, he's basically trying to build himself up to have the best clan so he can still find a way to enact his ability or fantasy of becoming the greatest seeker ever. And that was actually on Netflix.
Oh, look at the Netflix dropping some stuff.
The Netflix be having everything.
They get rid of it too, though. Like, Netflix is real good for taking something and then, like, oh, this show's good? You like Ajin? That show, go on. You like Sinbad? What's Sinbad? Who's Sinbad?
I hated Ajin. Just me personally. I don't like the animation. Couldn't get behind that 3D, CGI, whatever it was. I did not like it. Yes. They see you rolling.
Hater.
They hate. Yes, I am Hater. Hater. You're right, bro.
Damn, son. You're right. Where'd you find that?
Where'd you find this? Yeah. Hater. Yeah.
Hater.
Listen, ain't no hate over here. Ain't no hate over here.
A lot of hate over here.
You know what? I guess I could talk about something I've been watching. It's not exactly a new genre, but it's something that I should have been picked back up. I just didn't for whatever reason. All right, so obviously I'm in the isekais, right? That's the name, right? I started watching one that you were talking about the other day. And that one is ReZero, Starting Over in Another World. So, if you guys don't know, ReZero follows Subaru Natsuki, who is definitely up there for top 10 criers of all time.
He's a tortured soul, man.
The man has legitimate reason, though. Like, I'm not even going, like, at first, I saw the meme. I'm like, is he going to keep crying? The man keeps crying. But if you saw what he had to go through, honestly, I'd be crying too. And it's not like some, I'm sad because my friends are hurting. Like, you know, My Hero type stuff. No shots at Deku, but he's a crybaby.
That was definitely a shot at Deku.
I said, but he is a crybaby. But this man, I'm telling you about right. ReZero follows Subaru Natsuki, right? For whatever reason, he suddenly gets isekai'd into a new world. Bam. All right. He's in a new world. He has a cell phone. That's cool. Unfortunately, you have no coverage or whatnot because you're in another world and you're not paying for extended service.
What's happening?
Also, it's something called old school flip phones. Not even like a smartphone for real. Like, you can't even like play games and stuff like that. But it's beyond the point. Bull goes out there like, I got isekai'd. I know what this means. I can now go out, find a mission, save the lady, and have some super cool power. He didn't do none of that shit. Like, he found people, but they ain't want none to do with him. First off, he dressed weird because he came from our time, so while he had on, like, a sweatsuit, so I wouldn't say he had, like, that shit on, but he was all right.
But he didn't.
Plus, he was weird. Like, Bull was cringy. Like, if you heard him speaking, you would walk away from the type of situation. Like, he's that friend that you invite, but you really hope he doesn't come. Type of situation, right?
You ain't got to do something like that, bro.
You heard him, though. You heard him, right? You heard him? Okay, cool. As long as you heard him, just making sure you heard him, right? Now, Subaru's does get a cool power, though. It's not the kind of power that you actually want for real. Like, you don't get super strength, super speed, teleportation, invulnerability. No, but you do get the power to return by death, right? If you die, you will return back to some random-ass point. You don't get to choose when you return to. You will return back to some random-ass point. You feel yourself dying. You feel the experiences. You have the memories of everything that just happened. But if you died and it happened to you back a day ago, cool. Bam. You're now living a day behind with an extra days of experience. So, you know, don't make a right path. Somebody go among you. Or don't make a left path. It's a dragon over there. And he's like, all right, bet it. I want to use this power to get ahead and make a name for myself.
But I make a name for myself.
He tried. And man, it's something about watching people that you grow to care for just disappear. And then you do everything in your power to try to save them. And then you can't. And then you save someone else, but at the cost of someone else. And then you keep going back until eventually the going back goes to a point where one of your people is permanently gone. And you got to live with that. That's your man's. That's your choice. And that's pretty much what Subaru is. He's out here just trying to really, like, listen, I found somebody. I like her. I'm going to try to take care of her and help her out at any cost. And man, does it have a cost. I'm trying to tell you, if you like isekais, you want something with some cool powers, but it's nothing too crazy. Quality story. I'm only on like episode 30 or something so far. But overall, I'm enjoying ReZero. Currently on Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll has the hits though, so. You know, get a control.
Evil Empire, we have the hits. Yes, sir, I'm with you.
Take that to the bank.
Laughing all the way to the bank.
To the bank.
Now tell me, who do you have that can beat our boy, our arch nemesis, our friend? Go.
Okay, so look, right. It's not that we don't like Goku. Right, that's not what it is. Goku's cool, right? We're cool with Goku, right? We rock with Goku. We like DBZ, okay? But people often make it seem as though Goku is the pinnacle of strength, the epitome of everything, and like he can't be touched.
He's untouchable. Once again, bro.
You know what? It's funny that you would say that because I got a man that can finish him off in one touch as well. We talked about one the other week, but we're going back to the same universe. We're going back to My Hero Academia. Now, you see, there's this one guy, right? He's just a chill guy.
you know? He doesn't really care to do too much. But if you bother him, he's going to do some things to you. He's going to rearrange some things. I'm talking about overhaul, all right? Once again, if this is a fair fight, Goku knows what he can do. Goku winning. I'm not pretending that he's not. But if Overhaul happened to be walking past Goku and is like, move, and he taps him, he could literally make it so that he's not a Saiyan anymore. He could rearrange his entire body so he's not a Saiyan anymore. He could rearrange it so he's literally a puddle of mud. Overhaul had to get nerfed. They removed this man's... I don't know if y'all saw My Hero, so I'm just going to chill right there. But just know that if Overhaul really wanted to, not only could he beat Goku, he could one-shot him. And that's just one more person that could beat Goku. And I'm just saying.
That makes it wild for that.
I mean, listen, I'm not wrong, though. If you think that Overhaul can't beat Goku, this is not a fair fight. This is not tournament rules. No, no regulations. This is best case scenario for the provider, because at the end of the day, Goku already has crazy plot armor. We didn't even talk about him. We didn't even talk about him when it comes to plot armor today. The main should have died in episode one when he dropped on the fucking head and fell down a mountain. Numbskull self. But listen, if you think we're wrong, let us know in the comment section, because we're not infallible. We could be wrong, but we're not. None of our picks have been inaccurate. Not a single time. Not a single time. Whew. Noiseless. Any last things you want to say to people before I wrap us up and get us out of here?
I think I'm good on that one, man. What about you?
Nah, I think we're straight. So let's do this how we always do, you know? Let's bring out a little DBZ style outro, okay? All right, let's do this right quick, you know?
I like that shit, man. That shit's good.
Thank you. Will plot armor get any thick? Is Yu-Gi-Oh! Designed for cheaters? Will Goku find another nemesis? And above all else, is the One Piece real? Find out next time on Kami Conversations. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe, and let us know what conversations you want to hear us have. Once again, guys, thanks for tuning in. Per usual, you guys are awesome.
Pyo! I know you did not. Pyo!